we're so excited to begin this sermon series. I have to be honest, you know, as church planters, you're like, okay, like we got our first sermon series down, and then we're like, now what? You know, like, and remember we said the very first Sunday we launched, like, there are so many things that we want to tell you guys. And so it's like just narrowing that down. So what's important to us at Village Church that maybe you realized in the last 9 weeks that we've been meeting regularly is that we are all about loving God and loving other people. I hope that that is what has come through in our core values. We've talked about our six core values, our mission, our vision is all about what it means to love God. And we're going to be a people, Village Church, that love God radically and love other people radically. People different than us, people outside this church, and people inside this church. And so we thought, what better way to drive that home? You might get sick about us talking about loving God and loving other people. Like, that's how much we're going to talk about it, okay? And so we thought, what better way than to examine in Scripture how Jesus loved other people,
yeah.
Right? How God really tangibly met with people. And so we went through, Cody and I took hours. We went through, we had this really interesting book of the synoptic gospels and everything. And we went through every single encounter that Jesus had with people in the New Testament, basically the whole, four gospels. We went through and just said, what did that look like? And what are the themes that came out of this? And I have to tell you something that has really impacted us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even just this week, like, wow, Jesus is amazing, right? And we know that, but it's even as pastors, it's fresh and anew. Yeah. And you know, I've never done a study like this. I wish I could say I have, where I've looked and said, well, let me just look at what Jesus says one-on-one to other people. And so I'm really excited. I hope you're excited. It's going to be kind of a longer series. We'll be in this a few months. We're going to talk about encounters that Jesus had with people. And one thing that's important about that is because when we read Scripture, and we see how Jesus encountered people, then we get a little bit more understanding of how he encounters us, right? Scripture is so rich and so full and so alive. You know, this is 2,000 plus years old, but it still relates. Hope you've seen that in the last few weeks of studying Scripture together. Like, this is speaking to me, right? But we weren't there. We weren't even alive yet. But he had us in mind. And so as we see how Jesus encounters other people, we're going to see how he encounters us. And then we're also going to see how do we then encounter people. You see how that works? Like, oh, Jesus relates to us this way. And so then we are supposed to relate to others a certain way as well. So we are so excited to do this encounters series. And every one of us is on this journey together. Not one of us in here is like, well, I can go home. You know, I already figured that out. I studied every encounter. And I just got it all down. You know, every single one of us needs this, and I'm excited to do it with you guys. And out of this too, you know, we're in our story groups, we're gonna talk about our stories and the three components of that, you know, what it means, who I was before Christ, how I met him, and who I am since meeting him. And we're gonna see that story, that exact process come out in these encounters with people. You see their story unfold before your very eyes. And so even in seeing their stories, we're going to recognize ours even more too. So I'm excited about it.
So today we're going to be going through Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus. So this passage is found in Luke chapter 19. If you want to open and follow along with us, that'd be great. I'll give you a couple seconds there. That's Luke 19. We're going to be going through verses 1 through 10. And just as a side note, just to remind you guys, all of our past sermons are online at www.villagechurchaz.com, okay? You can podcast them, you can stream them from our website, or you can download the MP3 as well. Okay, so Luke 19, 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. Since Jesus was coming that way, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So from this, we can pull out that Jesus wants to have a personal encounter with us. And we want you to know that some of you need that today. I hope you know that. I hope you've gotten that so far. In our worship time, we talked about it. We had you guys take a couple seconds to really try to open yourselves up to encountering Jesus today. That's the purpose of this message today. We want you to encounter Jesus.
And maybe some of you think that God has been holding you at arm's length. Yeah. You know, sometimes we know that. You know, we know when we say, Jesus wants an encounter with us. Oh, yeah, amen, right? But then sometimes that's really a struggle for us. We think, oh, I've done too much. I've made too many mistakes. I have a lot of stuff I need to figure out before I can actually come talk to Jesus. And that's not it at all. You know, so that truth that if you don't hear anything else today, we want you to hear Jesus wants a personal encounter with you.
Absolutely.
With you. Not just with us corporate, but with you personally. Amen. And he doesn't want to do that just on Sunday mornings. He wants to encounter you Monday, you know, 24/7. I'm like, what's the week? Monday through Sunday, 24/7, 365. You know, that's what he wants with you. And so maybe you need to hear that this morning. Maybe some of you, and we, you know, in praying through this, we said, we need to make that point because it was almost like God told us that there are going to be people in the room that need to hear that, that think like, well, I might know that with my head, but I don't know that with my heart, that he wants an encounter with me.
Yeah. So if we know from this passage that Jesus wants to have a personal encounter with us, then we need to ask the question, how can we have that encounter, right? So we're going to go through that today. So the first point that we can find in this passage is that we have to be ready. We have to be ready. So Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector in the city of Jericho in Israel. Jericho was a bustling trade route through the Roman Empire at the time. And so that area, there was a lot of taxes to be collected. So Zacchaeus had usually taken a cut, you know, of the taxes when he would give it to the Roman Empire. So he became very, very wealthy. But in doing that, he became extremely hated as well. So this was a Jew taking money from his countrymen to give to the Roman Empire, who was occupying their land at the time. Right? Traitor. Straight up traitor. And that's how these people saw him. So I don't think that it's far-fetched to say that he wasn't a very happy man. Right? We know that wealth doesn't bring happiness. We see that time and time again. And we can see that here because all it did was make enemies for him. So he wasn't only short in stature. It says that he's a short guy, right? But he was short on friends. He was short on integrity. He was just coming up short left and right in his life. But in this moment, he hears that Jesus is passing through. And I think when you're at that place, when you're recognizing that, you know what, I'm short in every area of my life, and I don't know what to do anymore. I've come to the end of me, at the end of my rope. And so Zacchaeus heard this Jesus figure was passing through. And this is late in Jesus' ministry, so he had thousands of people following him at this time. There was a huge crowd coming. And Zacchaeus saw an opportunity for hope in Jesus. He'd heard some stories and he said, I have to do something. I have to see this guy firsthand. So being short, he couldn't see over the crowd or through the crowd or get to the front. And he didn't want a secondhand account of who Jesus was. He didn't want to stand next to a tall guy and say, okay, what's happening now? What's he look like? What's he doing? What's he saying? Right? He wanted a firsthand experience with this Jesus. So he climbed a tree and he went out on a limb to have an encounter with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was a kid, we every year for 4th of July, we used to go to this parade. And it was interesting. We had to get there like so early to get a seat. Okay, and because, you know, 4th of July is pretty hot where we're from and where you're from too in Arizona, if you're from here. But even in Sacramento, California, it was really hot. And so we wanted a shady spot where we could see everything. We wanted to get there early, you know, make it happen. And I was thinking about, you know, Zacchaeus, I'm 5 foot. So this is very personal to me. You know, I'm like, I am Zacchaeus. And, you know, and if I didn't get there early, I couldn't see everything. I wouldn't be able to even have a glimpse at the parade. And so, you know, if I had woken up late on a parade day, I'd probably say, like, I'm just not really going to go. Like, I can't get a good seat. I've already missed my moment. Everyone got there before me. I'm probably just going to stay home today. And don't you think Zacchaeus could have done that? You know, Jesus at this point is a local celebrity, right? This is far into his ministry. So he's already, you know, preached to 5,000 people and fed them. Miracles are happening. I mean, news about Jesus is spreading like wildfire. And so you can imagine what kind of crowd was there. Jericho was not some tiny city, okay? You can imagine, you know, it says Jesus was passing through. And isn't that true that Jesus sometimes, don't you just feel that? Like he's passing through in your life? You know, right now in Village Church, it just literally feels like Jesus is just, he's passing through. I'm like, don't leave, you know, stay with us. He's doing an incredible thing in our lives. And not to say that he's going to leave, but just I love that imagery of he's just passing through. And Zacchaeus knew, if I don't go now and get a glimpse of him, there's not going to be some other opportunity. This is my opportunity to see him. He's in my city, and I am short in every way, you know, that Cody explained. I'm short in every way. This is my opportunity. You know, it's easy to decide not to encounter Jesus.
Yeah.
I want you to know that. You know, if you notice here, the crowd is like the people that showed up early to the parade. Right? They got there. They got there early. They got a seat. There are people that were taller than him, that were more equipped, you know, to see Jesus even just physically. They showed up early, but who got the encounter? Who got to have dinner with Jesus that night? Not the person that showed up way early, not the person that was right next to him, you know, grabbing at his clothes. It was Zacchaeus in the tree in the back. Mm-hmm. That's who got the encounter with him. And I think that's because Zacchaeus had this sort of desperation about him, right? His shortcomings led him to desperation. He was like, okay, he's coming. And you see how methodical he was in scripture? It says he ran ahead. Right? So he looked ahead and said, okay, Jesus is coming this way. I got to get over there. I got to get up that sycamore tree and I'm going to see him. I have to see his face. I'm not content with just going home when Jesus is passing through. And that's a challenge to us guys, because I think, you know, sometimes we're the crowd, right? We show up early. We come to church. We get the front row seat. We love that people sit in the front row. We're not condemning you, yeah. But we do it, right? We put our check in the box. We do what we're supposed to, but our hearts aren't really desperate for Jesus.
Yeah.
But when our hearts are desperate, when we're ready for an encounter with him, we'll get one every single time.
Yeah, and I think the attitude of that crowd, mm-hmm. I think the attitude of the majority of them was, just in case this is real,
yeah,
I'm going to show up and be here, mm-hmm. right? Like, just in case this Jesus guy is who he says he is, I'll show up early, try to get to the front row, get the best seat in the house, just in case, so I'll be better off than anybody else. Like, but that's what happens, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that's what happens to a lot of people that go into church, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where we see the Easter and the Christmas Christians, right? It's almost this, just in case this is real, I'm going to show up today and hope that this is good enough, you know, for...
Get my check in the box.
Right,
you know? I got to make sure, you know, Jesus passed through, I got to see him, you know, at least just in case he's actually the Messiah. Yeah, that's absolutely true. And so we want to challenge you this morning. Are you ready to encounter Jesus? Are you actually ready to encounter him? Mm. You know, that if we're going to have an encounter with Jesus, we have 3 points this morning. And the first one is you have to be ready. And being ready is not necessarily I showed up early and I had it all together. It's simply that I have to see his face. Whatever it takes, if I have to be undignified, can you imagine? I even think like as an adult climbing a tree, it's been a while since I climbed a tree. Like that would look, just picture me, 5 foot Ashley climbing a tree. Just put it in your mind right now. It's ridiculous, right? You're just seeing it. I'm in my dress. I'm climbing a tree. Like that is so undignified to be an adult climbing a tree. Like that's just, unless you're my husband would do that. But you know, just that he didn't care, right? He had nothing left to lose. He's like, I'm already hated by everybody. I'm getting up the tree and I'm going to see him. I have to see him. And that's the kind of desperation that we need. That's the being ready, that I have to see his face. I have to. You know, for us, that's everything here at Village Church. If we don't see his face, What are we doing? Mm-hmm. If we don't encounter him, we don't want to be here, right? We are here to see his face.
Yeah. So the next thing that Zacchaeus had to do and that we have to do is to accept the invitation, accept his invitation. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to reread verses 5 and 6. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. So the first thing that is so crazy about that is he called him by name. Why would he know who this guy is, right? Only Jesus can do that, can pull a name out of the air and look at this guy and say, "Oh, Zacchaeus, there he is." Jesus knew that encounter was going to happen today because Jesus is always ready. Mm-hmm. So when we're ready to encounter Jesus, who's always ready, it's just that quick. Mm-hmm. So here's Zacchaeus out on this limb, right? He's probably hanging onto the tree, like trying to get this desperate look. Who's Jesus? Where is he coming, right? And then Jesus is passing through this crowd of thousands, people clamoring for him, probably calling his name, probably wanting a million things. You know, we hear that all the time, people shouting and stuff for Jesus, and he comes through, and he must have had to shout, mm-hmm. and he looks up, and he says, "Zacchaeus," right? Over all these people who are standing there, and all these people are instantly probably went like this, right? Up to this guy, like, hanging in the street, like, you know, when Zacchaeus says, "Oh, yeah, hey, you know, like, you know my name? That's pretty crazy, you know?" But he doesn't stop there. He doesn't just name him. Mm. He says, "Hey, let's have dinner today. Let's have dinner. Let's get together. Today is the day. I want to go to your house. I want to meet with you, you, Zacchaeus."
Yeah.
He accepted that invitation. And there's two parts to this invitation. It's Jesus, his invitation, and it's our acceptance of that invitation, okay?
Right, and do you see what Jesus is doing here? Do you see, if you just know who Zacchaeus is, right, we know he's a traitor to his people.
Yeah.
He's wealthy. He's probably cheated people left and right. Like, he is a terrible man. He really is. Like, and his people would just, like, outcast him and say, "You're no longer one of God's people. That's how bad you are."
Yeah.
You know, and he's wrecked with sin in his life. And I love what Jesus does here, and he does this for us, too. He calls him by name. Like, in front of, can you imagine this? Like, there's this huge crowd of people, and then, you know, I don't know if you've ever been to, like, I don't know, I'm not going to say that, but to a concert or something, you're like, "I wish they would just call me on the stage." You know, I'm so extroverted. I've been to lots of concerts. You know, it's like, what if your favorite celebrity was, like, coming through and were like, "Hey, you, like, hey, I know you, and I want to hang out with you right now." You just feel so honored, right? You just feel like, "Oh, my gosh, me? Oh, he's coming to my house? He wants to come over?" You know, and so he calls him by name. Can you imagine the... "He knows my name," moment of Zacchaeus. And then he says this interesting thing. He says, "Come down immediately." Hmm. Right now, we're having an encounter. We're not waiting. He could have said, "You know, I got all these people here, and I'm trying to build my political campaign," you know. Like, that wasn't Jesus' agenda. He was like, "I'm going to come to your house now."
Yeah.
Forget these people, right? These people, they don't get it. But you are on a limb, desperate for me, and guess what? You get me. So you come down immediately, and I'm coming to your house to have dinner. That's a really intimate thing. I can imagine that Zacchaeus didn't have a lot of dinner guests, right? He didn't really have a lot of friends over. And so he says, "I'm coming to the most intimate part, and I'm going to have dinner with you." And that's what Jesus does with us. Mm-hmm. I'm going to come in into the most intimate part, and we're going to have an encounter there. We're going to meet there, and we're going to hang out a while. Isn't that beautiful? That's what he does for us. That's what his invitation to us looks like. He didn't berate Zacchaeus and, "Oh, Zacchaeus, I know you're a wealthy tax collector. You're a mess. You say sorry to all these people first because you've cheated every single one, and then maybe I'll come to, you know." None of that came up. It was simply, "Zacchaeus, you're desperate for me. I'm coming to your house right now.
Yeah.
Come down." That's such a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And you know what? That invitation doesn't work like a Facebook event invitation, right? There's no ignore button.
Did right? you see that on Facebook?
There's
you can
a new,
ignore
yeah. There's a
things.
New ignore
you can
button.
Simply not respond. Yeah. You can just ignore. Like, "I'm just not going to say," you know, if you're invited.
Yeah,
to
in that moment, Zacchaeus up in the tree, like, couldn't have said maybe.
Interested?
You know, like,
I'm interested
maybe yeah. in that. Like, in that moment, he had a choice. It was either, "I'm going to accept this and go in a new direction, or I am going to stay up in this tree hanging on to my brokenness. Those were his only two options. And that's the only two options we really have when it comes to an encounter with Jesus. Either you accept it and move forward in it, or you don't. There's really no middle ground there.
Yeah, Cody says something really good. He's like, I kind of see church as clicking the interested button. Even coming to church on a Sunday is not the I'm going button, yeah. Right? It's kind of the I'm interested, or maybe, or some people just simply hit ignore, like, quite, I'm not going, you know, quite literally, I'm not walking, you know, stepping foot in there. But that just goes to show, it's not that we just come to church every Sunday, right? It's not, I'm interested, I'll, you know, depending on what it means for me. What do you mean you want to come to my house? You know, what does that mean? What are we going to talk about? Are you going to call me out? Because I don't really want to hear it. That's kind of hard, you know, no. It was, I'm going. I love it. I love that, like Zacchaeus says, he came down gladly. He welcomed him gladly. He's like, oh, you called me? Okay, I'm coming down. Coming down the tree. Come right now. Not, let me go get my house together. I need to sweep. You know, I got to wipe the counters. Then you can come in. Like, he just took him in.
Yeah.
He was excited. He gladly accepted the invitation. Some of you this morning have clicked the interested button. And you think you clicked the I'm going button. You know, if you've ever hosted an event on Facebook, there's like that maybe list and the I'm going list. And now me, I'm like, well, if they put interested, they're likely not coming, right? It's not like they're like, oh, I just got to check my calendar. Let me just put interested and I'll check. Usually it's like, I feel bad about saying no, right? So I'm just going to say, I'm interested, you know, and maybe I'll come, you know, but usually the interested list doesn't come. Don't do that, by the way. If you're on Facebook, just hit I'm going or I'm not going, okay? For those of us that use social media, it's just difficult. All right, and that's how Jesus feels. Like, don't do that. Come in. I'd rather, and you know, the Bible says something crazy. He says in Revelation, he says, you know, you weren't hot, you weren't cold, you weren't going, and you didn't ignore me. You were like interested. And that didn't get you anywhere. It got you nowhere. That's just falling into the camp of you're not going. Yeah. Right? That's Jesus. He understands that about our human heart that are kind of wavering here. So we want to just remind you this morning, some of you in here have clicked the interested button and you think you clicked the acceptance button. All right, and that we don't want to say that to guilt you. We want to bring out truth because we don't want one of you to miss the encounter. Jesus is passing by, guys. And we don't want one of you to think, oh, I clicked accept because I showed up at 8:30 and got the, you know, I was first in line at the crowd. That's not what it's a heart issue for us. So when you climb the tree, every single time Jesus sees you, every single time he will say, I see you. Desperate for me. And then Zacchaeus welcomed him gladly. He said, yes, right now. I'm not, oh, later, you know. And so for us, that's what we need to do. We have to accept that. If we want to encounter Jesus, if we want to experience all that he has to offer for our lives, the scripture says he brings victory and healing. And last week, some of you stood up and said, I'm going to be the turnaround generation, right? Like there's been sin and addiction or whatever wrought through my family history. And now, not with me, it's stopping with me. You guys said that last week. A fair number of you stood up to make that vow. That's going to take an encounter with Jesus. And so will you welcome him gladly? And this, guys, I think is a salvation moment for sure, right? Some of you have not accepted Christ as your Savior. And so that's what this is going to be for you today. Maybe today is the day that you accept Christ as your Savior. You said, I accepted, but I was only interested. And today I'm going to accept. But I think this is also, you know, in my life, even since accepting Christ as my Savior, there have been times that Jesus is like, we are going to have an encounter. Like, he wants to encounter me and talk to me. And I'm like, I don't want to have that conversation. Like, you know, I don't know. I don't know. What are you going to say? What are you going to ask me to give up? You know, in coming here, I've told the story of God calling us here and how I thought before we came, I thought I was an anything Christian. I thought I was. Anything, God, anything you want to do with my life. And then he began to like, let's have an encounter. You know, what about giving this up and that up? And it took me a year. I am ashamed to say a whole year before I finally got to, okay, now I'm an anything girl. Now I am. But it took me a year, guys, to realize there are things I've withheld from him. There are things that I'm like, well, you know, as long as you don't rock my world financially and like make us move from our family and, you know, make my kids struggle, like as long as it's all peachy keen and perfect, then I'm an anything Christian, right? So maybe that's what you need to hear. Some of you are like, yes, I need to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior today. And that's exciting. And we're going to rejoice with you later. But also some of you are like, he he's trying to have an encounter with me and I'm staying in the tree. Like, I climbed up the tree, like, what do you got? No, like, don't call my name. You know, I wanted to see you, but I didn't want you to call my name. And so will you welcome him gladly today? If he's calling to you saying, I want an encounter with you, will you welcome him gladly?
Yeah. So there's three main characters to the story. Okay, there's Jesus, Zacchaeus, and the crowd. So I want to focus on the crowd for a second. So the order of events in this story really goes, Zacchaeus climbs a tree, Jesus is passing through, Jesus invites Zacchaeus down, Zacchaeus hops out of the tree, and immediately the crowd starts murmuring and muttering. And they say, are you sure about that, Jesus? Because I don't think you know who this guy is. Like, this is, like, we all hate this guy. Like, I don't think this is the best choice for you in this moment. You know, like let us tell you about this guy and what he deserves. Mm. When we accept that invitation, you're going to get naysayers in your life. The crowd is going to come out of the woodworks, and they're going to give you their advice. And they're going to say, I don't know about that. I don't think you need that. That's just a big crock anyway. I don't believe in that stuff. You're going to hear that because those people are missing something in their lives too. And when you get close to hope, when you get close to the answer, it raises up questions in themselves, and that makes them nervous. And they don't know how to handle that. So here comes judgment. Here comes judgment. That church is, no, I don't think you should go with that church. But the real way that you want to see transformation in people, the crowd around us, if they want to see good transformation in you, you know, we think about Christians and the political agenda right now. It's hard being a Christian in the country right now, right? There's a lot of political agendas against us. And some of us, and I'm sorry if any of you do this, like I'm not making a judgment on you or anything. It's just, it's very easy to react and put something on Facebook, some article that bashes the other side and calls people names and says, I can't believe these people, they're evil. We throw out these names, right? But the way Christians, if Christians want to see this country turn to Christian values, the way to do that is to love people into the kingdom, not to yell at them and tell them they're wrong. That's what this crowd is doing. They should have rejoiced in the fact that one of the most hated people in their community was going to encounter someone that could truly change them. You guys get that? If we have this urging in us to see our country change and to accept the things that we know it needs desperately, we have the answer for hope. We have the answer to set things right in our country. Only through Jesus, only through God can we find that. And if we can push that agenda instead of our political agenda, we'll see change. Amen. You hear that? That's the way we got to go about it. And that's where the crowd missed out. Because you know what? It doesn't mention the crowd after this. Because a lot of those people there were just showing up in case it's real. And when they see that, they're turned away. Well, I don't want anything to do with it if he's going to be with that guy. Right?
Yeah, you know, there's different times in Scripture where people basically called Jesus a sin coddler. Like, you're hanging out with the sinners? Do you know that's affirming their behavior? You know, they're muttering this, like, oh, I can't believe you went to be with him. Like, he's the worst. Like, are you saying that that's fine? But, you know, and I think this is good for us to hear, guys, because if we're going to be Jesus to the world, we're going to be labeled sometimes. We love radically as sin coddlers by other, you know, interested people, by the Christian crowd, I think, sometimes. And in our church, we want to be where Jesus asks us to go, right? We want to lead people into an encounter. And so if that people are going to start saying things, they're going to start muttering things about us. We've actually already heard things muttered about our church, you know, like, oh, whoa. And actually someone was like, you're coddling sin, you know? I'm like, what are you? Because we said, like, anyone can come worship with us. Like anyone can come have an encounter with Jesus. Anyone can come in here and do that on a Sunday morning. And you know, we got some flack for that. You know, some churches say, no, I want to shut the door. Nope. Yeah. Check at the door. Checkbox. Did you? Okay. You're first in line. So, you know, we're not doing that. Anyone can come in, right? Zacchaeus, the worst of the worst, got to have dinner with Jesus. Sure as heck. Anyone that wants to come encounter Jesus can come in here. Okay. So the third part, and we hope that this is encouraging to you and exciting to you. You might have questions, and we're happy to meet with you and talk with you about some of those things. I can see your faces like, well, what does that mean? You know, and so we're here. We're here to talk to you about it.
I want to offer a quick caveat with that. Because for who we want to be, anybody is welcome in through those doors because we believe that God is going to bring people into this place that need an encounter with him. Mm-hmm. It's not on us to judge who comes through that door. It's on us to push those people towards an encounter with God so he can do the changing. Yeah. I can't change someone. I can yell and shout as much as I want. I can smack somebody upside the head. That's not going to do any good.
Can you imagine Cody smacking somebody? Like, that would never happen. But that's true, you know, and this goes into our next point because the third part of this is if you want to have an encounter with Jesus, you have to own your transformation.
Amen. Yep.
Because here's the reality, when you come into the presence of Jesus, all of a sudden, right, it all comes out. We've talked about that with transparency. Like all of a sudden Zacchaeus was like, I am a cheat. I'm a liar. I'm the worst. I'm a tax collector. You know, like all of that came out and Jesus said, I'm not leaving you where you're at, right? We're going on this transformation journey together. And so we've talked about that in our church. Like we are like a hospital for the sick that come to get better, right? We're not in here to have the same diagnosis for 87 years and we're never doing anything about it. That's not at all. We say anyone can come encounter Jesus because we believe he can heal anyone. He can redeem anyone. He can fix anyone. The most broken of broken, he can do that. And so you see this amazing thing happen with Zacchaeus, right? You see the crowd muttering and there, you just picture the crowd like, what? Like, you're hanging out with that guy? And then it says in verse 8, it says, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord. Okay, he calls him Lord, which I love. Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. 50% of what I have, I'm giving away. I've never given that much. 50% of what I have. That's incredible, right? 50% I give away to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount. Do you see that? That's transformation right there. And that's what happens when you come into an encounter with Jesus. You are transformed. There's this outward, incredible thing that happens. Can you imagine the people sitting there like, well, I'm kind of glad Zacchaeus cheated me because I'm about to get rich, right? 4 times. I'm excited that he has been transformed. This is going to change my life now. Like, he's given me 4 times what he cheated me, and I have a laundry list of things he cheated me out of. You know there are people in the crowd. You know that they're like, whoa, this is crazy, this transformation. And you notice this isn't like 10 years later, Zacchaeus, you know, hemmed and hawed with the interested button, and then was like, okay, now I'll do it. It was instant. He met Jesus, and he said instantly he was transformed, and you see this incredible thing happen in his heart.
And that transformation can only really happen through repentance. So what happened there in that moment with Zacchaeus was a heart of repentance, true repentance. Because repentance doesn't just mean, I'm sorry. That's not what repentance is. Because those are really just words. Saying I'm sorry and God, would you forgive me? And going through that those motions, that doesn't really mean a whole lot until there's action behind it. Mm-hmm. Repentance truly and literally is one day I was facing this way and a moment later I was facing this way. I'm going to turn 180 degrees from who I was to where I know I need to be. Jesus didn't prompt Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, right? He didn't prompt him. He didn't say, okay, so the crowd is saying this. So what I want you to do right now is I want you to tell them, right? He didn't say a thing. Mm-hmm. But you know what? He was right by his side so that Zacchaeus could have the courage to make the transformation that he knew he needed to make. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. That's why it was such a radical change in him. He was so ready. He was so ready at the beginning to be done with his old life And he was so ready that he accepted that invitation. So when the rubber met the road, in that one moment when that crowd called him out, he was ready to say, no more. No, that's who I was. I was the liar. I was the cheat. I was the filthy tax collector that all you guys hated. But no more, guys. Mm-hmm. Let me show you. Mm-hmm. Let me show you tangibly how I've changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that so much. You know we've encountered Jesus when a heart change follows.
Yeah.
Right? And that's how, you know, if you're wondering, if any one of you is like, did I hit the interested button, not the acceptance? And you're wondering, you'll know, have you had a change of heart? Is the third part of your story, right, the who I am since I met Christ, is that different than it was before? That's how you'll know. And it's not this, like, quiet inward thing. Do you see that? In Scripture, you know, it says that we're the new creation, right? When we come into the presence of Jesus, we come into salvation, he makes us a brand new creation. That means our impulses are different, and we have conviction now, so that when we sin, we're like, oh, I know I sin. And then we also have power to overcome that sin. I mean, a lot happens in that new creation. And then it's not this, like, quiet, I keep to myself thing. Transformation just pours out. The people around saw, like, whoa, you're different. That's crazy. He's a completely different person. He was a cheat and a liar, and now all of a sudden he's generous and the guest of Jesus? Like, who is this guy? What is happening in his life? And so, have you owned your transformation? Right? Because some of us have had an encounter with Jesus, and we didn't really accept it, and so we haven't owned our transformation, owned our new creation, and it's time that we do. So what, if you're saying, yes, I have, then what is the evidence of that? There is evidence. The Bible says faith without deeds is dead, which basically says there's evidence of faith. Not you work toward earning salvation, but you're saved in a new creation. Now there's evidence of that in your life that other people can see, that can look around and point out, oh, yeah, that's that. And maybe you've been a Christian a long time, and you know what? It's been a while since you had some evidence in your life. Is that you've had an encounter with him in a way that changed you and that transformed you. Even, you know, things still I struggle with, guys. I've been a Christian over 10 years, and there are things I'm like, I cannot believe still. The 10 years ago, I was doing that, and I'm still doing that. What is the deal? And, you know, lately I've just had to get on my knees and just say, like, not today. Like, I'm owning my transformation today. I'll tell you a funny story. So my kids have been a little difficult the last couple weeks. And, you know, yesterday morning I spent, you know, probably 45 minutes in prayer in the morning. They weren't awake yet. I was just like, Lord, I need you to help me with these kids, right? Because my tendency is to lose my patience and struggle, you know. So I'm like, Lord, I need that. I'm reading devotions, you know, about, you know, being a godly parent and all this stuff. And so I get up and I'm in the kitchen making my coffee. And then around the corner comes my four-year-old. And she goes, where's daddy? Okay, the first thing she says, right, they love daddy more than anything, okay? I'm like chopped liver, but he's at work. And so I'm like, oh, honey, you know, I'm all prayed up, you know. Oh, honey, he's at work. Do you want me to hold you? No! And turns around, runs back down the hall, and goes back to bed. Okay, now as a mom approaching Mother's Day, you're like, you little, you know, like instantly, you're like, well, I'll show you. You know, you don't want your daddy, you're never going to want your daddy again after, you know. But I just stood there, and I'm like, not today. Not today. I'm owning my transformation. I have the power of the Holy Spirit in me to be patient. I have the power of the Holy Spirit in me to give me wisdom to know how to handle this situation, right? Like, I want to raise this child. I know she loves me, and she just woke up grumpy. She was fine after. But, you know, I know not today. I'm owning the transformation. And so some of you, there's things that you need to own, right? That you're like, oh, I haven't owned that yet. And so today's that day, guys. Okay, we're going to give you a time in a minute to do that, but today's the day to own that transformation.
Yeah, and we have to be transformed if we're going to be the church that God needs us to be, okay? It's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. We can't be who God needs us to be if we aren't individually transformed, because we've already stated time and time again the importance of stories to this church, that if we're willing to share our story and to show people the transformation, God's going to keep bringing people through those doors. But the moment we stop, our willingness to be transformed, God's going to keep those doors closed.
Yeah.
And he has every right to, and he should, because there's no life here then.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Amen.
I love at the end here, we're going to just end with this, and the worship team can come forward. Jesus says, today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. You know what he's doing there? He's restoring Zacchaeus socially, right? You picture all these people that have said, you're an outcast, you're evil, you're sinful, you've stolen from me. And he says, you, Zacchaeus, the worst of the worst, are a son of Abraham, which is basically saying you're one of God's people, you're one of God's children. And he says that in front of everybody. Everyone can hear it. So he's restoring him spiritually and socially here. He's saying, now you can enter back in to society, right? Now you have been saved, and now you can enter back in. Then in verse 10, he ends with this. He says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. What was lost? Not for the one that showed up at 8:30 and got the good spot at the parade, but the one that climbed the tree that was desperate, broken, sin-wrecked, right? That is the one that Jesus came for, to seek and save, not the found, right, but the lost. And let me tell you something. At Village Church, we are all about that, okay? Because we understand that now, after this happens, Jesus later says to us, you know, you go and make disciples, right? And then we're called ambassadors of Christ in the New Testament. Paul says, you're an ambassador of Christ. So you have to be a reconciler. Remember that message? We talked about that. You have to be a reconciler. And let me tell you guys, if we're going to really see the Lord multiply us out, and I'll tell you, we're going to say it over and over again, we're going to multiply lots of churches through Village Church. I actually made a list the other day of 10 places in Tucson we could go plant churches, right? You're like, what? We're crazy. We're like 9 weeks in, 10 weeks today. But that's what's going to happen in this church. And if we're going to see that vision fulfilled, right, if we're going to see that happen, then we have got to have an encounter with Jesus. Not one of us that's hit the interested button. If we're all not showing up really, truly in our hearts, that's not going to happen. But when we do, God will do amazing things. Some of you will be part of a church plant. Some of you in the near future will be part of the next church plant. You'll go. You'll be on a launch team. And some of you right now are like, what? Like, me? But yes, we know that that's what God's going to do. He's going to multiply believers through you. You're going to go to work, and you're going to tell your story, and people are going to say, that's my story, right? We had James come up here. I love this story with my whole heart. We had James come up here and say, yeah, this is my story. I used to sell drugs out of a Taco Bell drive-thru. And I'm like, as a pastor, like, whoa, that's a thing? You know, like, I don't know. I'm so naive. And then someone in the crowd was like, just exploring their faith, and was like, I used to sell drugs out of a Burger King drive-thru. And they came to Christ. I mean, that's what's going to happen, guys. You're going to tell your story. You're going to say, this is what Jesus did for me. And other people are going to say, I need that. He's passing through. I'm going to climb the tree too. And so if we're going to do that, if that's going to happen in and through us, we need to make sure that we didn't hit the interested button, that Jesus didn't pass through, and we thought, you know, we showed up, but we really didn't. And so I'm going to have you bow your heads this morning. I'm just going to give you a time, because we really believe in moments, that we as people need a moment. Some days you say Mother's Day 2016 was the day that I dot, 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 right? That I made a vow to the Lord. Okay, so I'm going to give you this opportunity this morning, and this is just for you. So don't be shy. Please take opportunity. Jesus is passing through. Okay, this is your moment. But if you think or thought before coming in here this morning that you hit the I'm going button with Jesus, and actually you just hit the interested button and you have not actually accepted Christ as your Savior, and you want to do that this morning, will you raise your hands? Will you just raise them up? This is your moment. If you need to accept his invitation for an encounter this morning, so you've accepted Christ, and you say, you know what, I haven't climbed the tree. He wants to do something in my life, and I haven't said yes, and you know he's prodding you to that. Would you raise your hand this morning if you want to say yes? Yes, I'll show up. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Great. Thanks. And if you need to own your transformation, if you've not seen that happen yet, that heart work come out, that transformation of behavior or lifestyle or whatever it is, and you want to own that transformation this morning, say, not anymore, right? I need a fresh wind. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I am saying yes, yes to transformation. If you just raise your hand this morning, great, guys. I'm proud, so proud to be in a church where people are so transparent, so honest, and so excited to meet with Jesus. So I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to go into worship. God, I thank you so much. I thank you for what you're doing in this church. I thank you for the vows made today to you. Lord, I thank you that you're passing through in a way that some of us haven't experienced before, and I thank you for what that does to our souls. God, for the refreshing wind that's coming through us. Father, I thank you that you call us by name, that you restore us. God, I pray for those this morning that need restoration. I pray that you would bring restoration to their lives, socially, physically, spiritually. Lord, for those that raised their hand and said, I know he's been calling to me and I haven't accepted the invitation. This morning they said, okay, he's passing through. I'm going to climb the tree. I'm desperate. I have to see his face. God, I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray even in the next few minutes that you would encounter them. Would you whisper truth into their ears? Would you meet with them in a powerful way? And God, for those that raised their hand, the many that said, you know what, I need to own my transformation. He's calling me into heart change, and I haven't yet said yes. God, I thank you, and I pray that we would see fruit in these believers. God, even this next week, that we would hear stories of people that said, you know what, I said yes to transformation. You know what happened? I had an opportunity to demonstrate that transformation. My kid woke up grumpy, and I had an opportunity to say, not today, not today. Will I respond what I'm used to responding? So God, we thank you. We praise you. We pray that we would be people desperate for you, people that are not okay with just a secondhand glance, that need a firsthand glance at your face. We give this to you, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.